Let me invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 reads this way. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing where two or three are gathered, that you are right in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide us into your truths, that we might hear from you. And, Lord, that we might experience more of your grace, and that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the 100% assurance of eternal life, Lord, may you speak to their hearts and help them to see that need and to receive you as Savior, that they may also enjoy what you've given to us. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Understanding the Deep Things of God. Understanding the deep things of God. It's an important truth we just read, that there are deep things of God, but God wants us not just to know that there are deep things of God, but he wants us to understand these things. Let me ask you, what percentage of the deep things of God do you think the world understands? Zero. Zero. Why? What brought you to that? That's the truth, though. That's the absolute truth. Because before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I understood zero of the deep things of God. And really, when you consider the answer, it's found right here in verse 14. It says, "But the natural man," that's the problem. In our natural self, the wisdom of God doesn't make any sense. So it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So that's the reason why the natural man or the lost person or the world cannot understand the things or the deep things of God. But let me ask you this question. How much do the saved children of God understand the deep things of God? Because that's who God is speaking to. God is not saying if the world will humble themselves, but he says if my people. And so all of the promises of God are to his children. Now, does he want more children? Does he want the lost to be saved? Yes, the Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The problem is, listen, God gives us an understanding, and if we move on that understanding, if we move on that truth, God will give us more light and more understanding. But if the world says, "Oh, I choose not to believe that," I choose, because what happens is the Bible tells us that we love our ways, our sin, and we love to discover ourselves when we're lost. And we're not really concerned about the things of God. And so the world comes to this idea that, well, I'll, at the very end of my life, I'll seek God. Well, you don't have that assurance. We don't know that that can happen, because we don't know what might happen in the course of our life. Something can happen where we don't have the right mind to be able to make that kind of a decision. Or maybe we don't even have the opportunity, and we're ushered out of this life very quickly. And so the opportunity that we have is at this moment, because yesterday or a minute ago is gone. And a minute from now is not here yet. And so the only opportunity that we have to make a decision or to understand or seek God is at this very moment. And here's another truth that the world doesn't understand, and maybe sometimes God's people don't understand, and this can happen also to the child of God, that the devil is waiting to snatch the seed of God that was sown into our hearts and minds out right here. As soon as we walk out the door, Satan's like a bird waiting to catch that seed away with the cares of this world, with the worries of this world, to take that seed of truth out and not allow it to bear fruit in our lives as believers, and especially even those that don't know the Lord, that they might come to salvation. So that's an important truth. God wants us to seek him, right? Now, we just came to this idea that God works out all things for our good,
So how often do we seek the Lord? And let me ask you this. You ever heard this statement, maybe even from a child of God? Boy, oh boy, has God been blessing me. I hope you have. I hope you've heard that. There's nothing wrong in that. But let me ask you this. When somebody makes a statement like that, what are they getting ready to tell us? Boy, oh boy, listen, God has blessed me. He has put me through a trial that you wouldn't believe that caused me to deny myself. No. Man, oh man, God has blessed me. And then we begin to say what good things God has done. But wait a minute. God works out all things for our good. Now, look, we're going to look at some truths this morning that are important. But here's what happens. Listen, it's like, and I'm just making up a fictional father and a son. And the father says, son, will you help me do this? You know, can you give me some assistance? And the son says, well, I've got something in my hands right now. There's something that I'm doing at this moment. I'll help you in just a moment. Well, what the son doesn't realize is they've just missed out on that opportunity to help out and to walk with the father and to get involved with what the father was doing. And the reason why I'm sharing that with you today is because oftentimes we have things in our hands, things in our life, and God says, okay, I'm working this in your life and we're too busy right now. And that will always be the case unless we see that God is wanting to work in our lives in every circumstance, every situation, all the day long. Not just at certain times when we give God. So we've got to be cognizant of the idea that God is wanting to work with us every day of our life and throughout the whole day. Or we'll get so busy with things, not bad things, that we have to get done that we don't have time for God. Oh, I've got this, that, and the other. And it's not just reading the Word of God, and it's not just prayer, but it's inviting God and understanding that God wants to walk in and through our lives in every situation or circumstance. God gives us what the Word of God calls us a grace opportunity. In other words, maybe a trial or a difficulty comes in, or maybe we may not be in the right frame of mind, like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were grief-stricken because of the Savior's crucifixion, and the Lord is walking right there with them, and they're all kind of grieving and questioning when the Lord says, why are you all so upset? And then they began to say, well, because of we thought Jesus was the Messiah. And the Lord opened up the scriptures to him right there in the midst of a very sorrowful time. Listen, they had just witnessed the crucifixion of the one they thought would be their Savior. Oh, wait, they had already trusted him as their Savior. But all of a sudden, something happened in their life that they did not expect to take place. And yet God told them more than once that that was getting ready to happen. Has God not told you and I that we will have difficulties in this world? But he's also told us that he's going to work out some of those things for our good, or all of them. Okay, these are the deep spiritual things. See, I could preach a message. Now I can tell you're kind of a little apprehensive this morning. Listen, let me tell you all the good things God wants to do in your life. Preach it. Yes. Oh, no, let me tell you that God works in difficulties. Uh-oh. I don't know if I'm so excited about that. That's what the world doesn't understand. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, the afflictions of Christ and the scars that Paul talked about were all the things that made him come to the place where he learned that in whatsoever state he was in, he could still walk in the joy of the Lord. And so, God, listen, that's how the light of God shines in our life. And a lot of people don't understand it. When we get upset, it's because we have things in our hands. When things enter into our life, we don't have time for that inconvenience. Do you see? We don't, listen, you don't understand. I don't need this right now in my life. Oh, listen, that has been ordered by God. That very thing has been, see, that does not make any sense to the natural mind. And the world will have, listen, what does the world think the blessings of God are? You hear a lot of people that I believe maybe don't even know the Lord that say, oh, I'm blessed. And what they're saying is, I've got everything going my way. And the only reason why I say that is because they say I'm blessed, and then a few moments later, they start acting like they don't know the Lord. All right. Now, I'm not saying that everybody says I'm blessed doesn't know the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying the world has an idea of what blessings are, and God has a truth of what they are. So let's look at a couple of things this morning. Understanding God's calling and choice. Understanding our glory in Christ. Understanding God's wisdom. And understanding God's revelation to receive the deep things of God, how God works in our lives. So look with me, back up with me to verse 26. And we want to understand God's calling and choice. Verse 26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Now, he's not saying that there are none that are wise and noble in this world that are called. He's saying not many of them are called. So he says, I want you to understand how that the Lord works. Now, why is that? Is it that God doesn't care about them or doesn't want them to be saved? No. And he tells us here in verse 14 of chapter 2, and I'm sorry, I backed up to chapter 1, verse 26. It's because those things are beneath them. It's because they choose, when they look at everything, look how simple this is, all right? The philosophy of the world is that everything just made itself, is it not? We call that macroevolution. Now, I believe in microevolution, and that means that small things adjust. There are small things that adapt. Maybe adaptation would be a better word, because evolution really it's a false religion that's not provable by science. I mean, my goodness, if one thing changed, everything after its own kind, that's what the Bible teaches. If everything developed from one kind to a different kind, if a fly became a horse, we would have record of that in the fossil record, but there are no records of that. Right. So I can show you this wreath right here. Now, do you think that wreath, all of a sudden, the greenery just collected itself together, and those little red berries, are those cranberries? They got collected themselves, and the wreath made itself, and the lights just kind of all went around and did their own little thing, and voila, there's that wreath. And it hung itself up on the wall by itself. Wow. I don't have enough faith to believe that. Because the truth is, it didn't do that, did it? Right. And so we can look at everything that we see, and we can tell it's been created with a purpose in the physical realm. But listen, in the biology realm as well. Listen, do you know that your body and my body has more information in one cell that it could not be? How many of us could exist with half of a developing heart in process, or developing lungs in process? How many of us could live like that? Nope, there would be no life. And so we can see just in the natural realm, but the world doesn't want to believe that. And the reason why is because they don't want any accountability to the Creator. They want to say the Frank Sinatra song, right? I did it my way. And that's what they want to do. And guess what? They have the freedom to do it their way on this side of eternity. And God will allow them that, because He has created all of us. He will not infiltrate our free will. But God's got a will too that will not be infiltrated either. And His will is that not anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Now, There's a time in everybody's life, believe it or not, Romans chapter 1 tells us that we understood that God had created us and everything. There's a time, I don't know what age that might be, it's different for everybody, but somewhere a teacher or somewhere they came to a conclusion that they chose not to give the Creator glory for the creation, and they decided to choose to believe this idea that we made ourselves. You did not, listen, you develop what God has given to you. That's an adaptation. But if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here. And so that's just the bottom line. So the world doesn't understand that. So he says, listen, I want you to understand that not many wise men after the flesh, in verse 26 of chapter 1, and not many mighty and not many noble are called. Notice, but God hath chosen The foolish things of the world. Now, they're not foolish, but the world considers them to be foolish. The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God, listen, God is not catering to gain the reception or the agreeability of the lost world to his side. Oh, wait a minute. Let me run over here and let me explain things to you. God's not concerned about that. God says, this is the way it is because I'm God. And if you choose me, you will find life. But if not, you'll find death. Listen, our society today shows you what self is filled up with. Now, this is just a current event. You want to see what the heart of man is all about? Go to San Francisco. And that will tell you the depravity of mankind without God. I use that as an illustration. I never thought I would see it. I was talking to my Sunday school class, young boys, teenagers. And I said, because sometimes people come with this analogy. Mankind is inherently good. There's good in every man, every person. You ever heard that? That is a lie hatched in hell. Because the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. And who can know it? It's so, listen, when you think we haven't gotten to a new low, hold on to your hats because we're going to get there. I have heard many lawyers and judges, they would say, in my 40 years of law, I have never seen such a crime committed. You ever heard a judge say something like that, or a lawyer or a police officer? Cap officer said, man, this was like the worst thing. I've seen some bad things, but this was, I could not believe that we could stoop to a new low. So I told our Sunday school class, I said, because man is so good, and I had some young fellows in there that believe, yeah, we're pretty good. They didn't know the Lord. And I said, well, what if the police said, for 24 hours, we're not going to uphold the law? And so nothing would happen, right? No. They would, I told them, I said this, they will go to all the stores and they will loot. And this has been 4 or 5 years ago I said this. Well, guess what? We have some brilliant politicians that said, well, we won't charge you with any crimes if you steal less than $950. What? What brilliance came up with that idea? So the criminal said, oh, we won't steal at all, right? No, so they can calculate $950, and we're not going to get in trouble. And that's the garbage that you have going on. And I promise you, listen, God laid down the criteria for a good life. Even if the lost world would abide by it, the lost world, if they would abide by it, at least would have a happy life. I want you to know that those who reject the teachings of God, even as a lost person, do not have life but are experiencing death, and families are being destroyed, and there's no happiness and there's no joy in their lives. And what they're doing is they're stringing themselves on by the lie of the devil, and they're getting themselves onto drugs or onto alcohol. There's something they're looking for in happiness, unfaithfulness into their relationships, and so they're venturing out for some gratification, because the flesh, the natural man, will look for a purpose in life. If not, life is over. When mankind comes to the end of this idea that there's no purpose to life, then it's over. Because without hope, there can be no life. So people place their hope in all the wrong things. It's a sad commentary for the people of God to miss out on that. But I don't have to say very much anymore to let you know that our society in the greatest nation on planet Earth is losing that. We're losing that. And so this is God's choice. So verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. The child of God ought to walk in the grace of God so that we can experience the joy of God. Because it is possible for the child of God to get caught up in the things of the world, and God's saying this is the way, I'm sorry right now, Lord, I'm too busy. And then we get very busy, and then we don't seek God. It starts off, listen, the very elementary walk of faith is the Word of God. Now, that's not it alone. It's understanding the Word of God. But prayer and reading the Word of God ought to be a part of every believer's life on a daily basis. Not because I have to, but because, my goodness, that's where my life is at. That's where I find understanding and perspective of what I'm seeing and how God wants to work in my life personally so that I can have the grace of God in my life to enjoy and to give to my family and to give to my church family and then to the world. But it's overflowing. It's an overflowing cup that God gives to us as believers. So He says in verse 27 of chapter 1, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So here we find all these things, notice in verse 28, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. You hear what God is saying? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Nobody's going to say, look what I have done. And the church, let me tell you, if we're not careful as believers, we can start looking to what we're doing for God and what we're not doing for God, instead of God working in and through our lives. It is something that we have to be very careful about and realize that it's more than what we can do on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night, is what God wants to do in your life every moment of every day. And if we're missing that, we've missed the most important thing. We're only doing the things that mankind can see instead of the things that God can see, like his peace and his joy. Is it in our lives? I'm not saying, listen, we can be a saved child of God and be missing out on these things. And God is saying, these are the things that must not be left undone, or the next generation will have, they won't see Christ. You can have eternal life because it's a gift of God and it's based upon his righteousness, not ours. And God's mercy, not ours. And God will never take that away. The world doesn't even understand that. A saved child of God, you trying to tell me you can live like the devil and still go to heaven? Well, is it my righteousness or his? Now, if I'm living like the devil, there's a problem in my relationship with my Savior. That's like a son taking his father's wealth and just blowing it. There would be a problem with that. That would be a dishonor. There would be a relationship problem with that father and son, because we would surely want to take care of those things. And so David, when he committed his sin with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed, was there a problem? Yeah, David lost his focus. Who was he looking to? Not God. He was looking to himself. That will bring problems. That will bring temptations every time. And we are not strong without God to abstain from those things. In fact, here's what we will do. We'll justify them. Do you realize that David was sending letters back and forth to his commander by the one he planned on killing? That means David justified, because he's the king. And they did. They followed his command. Was it right? No. And then God, in his great mercy, gave Bathsheba Solomon. And the world might shake their fist at God. That's wrong. Really? We're going to judge God? Imperfect mankind who has lied, stolen, and broken the commandments of God, and is guilty? We're condemned already. Jesus came to save us. We're going to condemn that God? it shows we don't understand. And so there will be justice. And by the way, David paid. And not just with the life of that firstborn boy, but he had war till the day of his death. There was no peace. He lost that. And so does a child of God lose the peace of God when they turn their backs on the King of Peace. So, this is God's calling. And he has chosen the things that do not make sense to the natural mind to be the way of life. And it's very easy for us to get caught up in the things that we think we understand, and we'll miss what God is saying. Now watch this, ready? Look at the glory of God. God wants us to understand our glory in Christ. Still in chapter 1, look at verse 30. But of him, listen, this is important, are ye in Christ. That's an important truth. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, listen, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It has to be us in Christ and Christ in us working in order for these things to take place, in order for us to have wisdom, not our wisdom. Here's what our wisdom does. Ready? Don't answer this if you've ever gotten caught. You were in a conversation and you had something you really needed to say in conversation. So much so that you were not really listening to what that other person was saying. Because I'm just waiting, boys, for you to be quiet so I can just wow you with my wisdom. I'm just going to unload something on you and, man, I'll tell you what. And we missed that, see? That's the spirit of man. The spirit of Christ is humility. There are many times things don't need to be said. And maybe because, listen, man, listen very carefully. In all realms of life, the human nature is to talk bad about somebody else. And we're not even saying it, but we are saying it. I would never do that. Did you see? And we're putting ourselves up on a pedestal and we're kicking the other person down to the ground. Is that how Christ works? Not one minute. Why do we do that? Because the Spirit of Christ is not in us. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Maybe I should say it this way. The Holy Spirit is not coming forth. See, listen, when you were born again, you were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls that, listen, the new man. But the Bible also says there's the old man. And the one that we lean on is the one who will be prominent. If we lean to the old man, which is supposed to be crucified, we'll not have the Holy Spirit speaking through us and doing things the way we'll still save child of God, and we'll be impressed what we think we're doing. But here, listen, when the Spirit of God is working and something is said or done through the Spirit of God, we worship God because we know we wouldn't come up with that. But if we're still patting ourselves on the back as a saved child of God, that's not the Spirit of God. Is God working in your life? Is God working in your life? Let me answer. Are you in God's hands? So God's working in your life. How's he working in your life and mine? Through every difficulty, through every trial, and through every tribulation. Every one of them. Now, we have to ask God. You'll never do this on your own. The Bible tells us that. We will never do this on our own. Help me to see you, God, in the trials and the difficulties, and help me to understand your wisdom and what you're wanting to do in and through my life. And the majority of the time, it's just simply to deny the flesh. If Jesus said, if you follow me, you have to what? Deny yourself. There's not a lot of denying going on. Because there's not a lot of the Spirit of God in society. And it's going to be through the life of the believer. So we see, we understand that God's glory is through Christ in us. Look at God's wisdom here. And this is in chapter 2 now. Look at verse 1, understanding God's wisdom. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Did you get that? Was Paul knowledgeable? Was he well educated in the Word of God? Let me wow you with my wisdom. And he could have done it. Let me give you my dissertation. Let me share with you what I've studied. And he could have awed them with all kinds of historical things and all kinds of biblical applications and things of that nature. And they could have said, whoa. And in fact, some did. Oh, Paul. Oh my goodness. Remember, we're of Paul, we're of Apollos. What an eloquent speaker. Oh, we're of Peter. And then the really sophisticated ones, the really spirit. No. We're of just Jesus. We don't listen to anybody but Jesus. And what did Paul say? We're just ministers, guys. You guys are missing it. God's the master builder. The foundation is Christ. How are we building on that foundation? That's what the matter is, or the need is, how it's being built upon. So look at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, listen, and him crucified. That is not what our flesh wants to hear. The crucifixion, the death of the flesh. The death of the flesh. Do you know that every trial, every tribulation, every difficulty that enters in your life is for us to trust the Lord, and more times than not is to just rest in him? Do you think God could do something with a vessel like that? Yeah. Notice this. This is the Apostle Paul, the one who could have wowed them. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear, and in much trembling. Does that sound like self-confidence? No. Notice this, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration, listen, of the Spirit, that's capitalized, that's the Holy Spirit, and of power. God would be more glorified for us to allow his Holy Spirit, not just at church, but let's see the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. When we deal with our family, when we deal with people that don't know us, when somebody cuts you off, when somebody makes you angry, has the peace of God left at that moment? Because if it is, there's something wrong there. And here it is, ready? It's ourself that has crept up on the, on the throne. I'm going to do it my way. Bless God, that's not right. Let me just tell you, that shouldn't happen to me. Really? Why? Because we don't understand God is wanting us to yield and to trust him, not in some things, but in everything. See, I could have preached to you about how to get all the good things of God, amen, the blessings of God, but that doesn't bring his glory. So here's a Christian, man, let me tell you what God's doing for me. And then any little bad thing that doesn't happen their way, they get bent out of shape. And maybe not saying anything, but they get angry. Or somebody does something to them and they get mad instead of realizing by the grace of God, it could be us. Thank you, God. Pray for them, Lord, that they would see what you've shown me. Because blessed are the eyes that see the things which you have seen in our relationship with the Savior. God wants us to see him in us, does he not? See, we think we're children of God and we have eternal life, and we do. If you're trusting in the Lord, that's never taken away. But that's not the end of the work of God of grace in our lives. See, let's practice in the little things that happen every day to have God's peace and to say, God, something's wrong. And I want you to know this, hey, I've not mastered this, but it's where God wants us, is it not? You can make me angry. Oh, Brother George, I couldn't make you angry. My children can make me angry. They can. But wait a minute. Is that not God giving me an opportunity to allow his Holy Spirit to reach out in his grace? Do you think I'll gain more by the love of Christ or by me saying, well, I'm dead, bless God, do it? Does that work? I'm not saying that discipline isn't needed. But when your kids get a certain age, the grace of God, and I think all the time, the grace of God will do more. How were you led to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did somebody say, bless God, you know, and let you have it? Or did all of a sudden you see yourself truly undone and you saw the love of God that held his arms wide open like the prodigal son came home to the father? You had no problem running into his arms. That's what our family needs. That's what our church family needs in us and the world. I'm not saying we have a loving church. We really do. But it must be done by the grace of God and not in our strength. So very quickly, notice this. Verse 5. In fact, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And you'll notice that's a colon there. So he's not done. That your faith. Did you see that? He wasn't beating them up. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Did you see the contrast there? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Did you see that? He's talking to believers that don't know this truth. He's talking to a whole church that doesn't know this truth. And do you know why he knows that? Because Paul dealt with it himself. When he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, he had to learn that. And Peter, do you think Peter understood that there was some growth needed in his life? Absolutely. There's a place God is wanting us to rest in and walk in, if we'll have it. This is what's understanding the deep things, being in the grace and peace of God. And we can't bring ourselves there. He's got to take us there. And he does it through the road of suffering. And not missing out on, you're going to go through those trials. Listen, I can look back in my life and I can work, I was working hard at getting myself out of difficulties. And now I see what God was trying to do all the time. Get me to submit and to rest in his peace and joy through that trial. God's not trying to deliver us out of this world, but through the world. God's not trying to take us out of our problems, but to deliver us through our problems. Things don't work right. Things go wrong. We're the first thing we look at, we want to change those circumstances or those situations. We're not resting in God. We'll even pray in Jesus' name, bless God, he don't want me to be here. That's not the case, though, is it? He wants us right there. Joseph was right where he needed to be when his brothers betrayed him. Joseph was right where God wanted him, at Potiphar's house. Was he not? Right where God wanted him. You and I look at that and say, I don't want any of that. Well, we won't get what any of Joseph had. God with him. Do you see that? This is a truth that will empower the local New Testament church. But how do you see it? Can you trust God to take you through that valley? Jesus Christ was baptized, began his earthly ministry. What was the first thing the Holy Spirit did? Took him out to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's a truth, is it not? Is Jesus Christ our example? And did he willingly go? And did he suffer? He did. But did he receive the ministering of God in his life? Same for you and I. Very quickly, and we'll close here. Last thought. Listen, understanding God's revelation to receive the deep things of God. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But, now that's a conjunction, right? he's not done. He's adding this thought. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Notice, listen, now we have what? Received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And if you'll notice that, you'll find verse 10, God talks about a revelation. And in verse 12, you see that God talks about a receiving and how they're received. But listen, we can put ourselves in a place to where we can't see what God is trying to give us because we're filled up with what we think. The Lord says this way, not right now, hold on, Jesus. I got something I got to take care of. He says this way, gives us the invitation. Come this way, just a moment. Bless God, I got to fix this over here. Hold on. I'll be with you in a moment after I fix this for myself over here. We'll never follow the Lord like he wants us to. Because we got our hands filled up with what we think. Instead of realizing. See, this is not flesh talk here. Oh no, flesh says, keep that garbage. Flesh says, I don't want any of that. You remember what Jesus said to Peter? I've got to wash your feet. Was that palatable for Peter? You wash my feet? No. No. The natural mind. In Peter. A disciple. An apostle. And what happened? What happened? Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. Well, Peter wanted everything that the Lord had. He just didn't understand how to go about doing it, that it was the Lord's work. He said, then wash my head, everything, wash everything. Oh, no, Peter, just a feet is all that you need. There's a lot of things that we think we understand that unless we humbly approach the Lord, we'll miss what God's trying to do. God's objective in the child of God is that everybody will hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How about you this morning? Do you want to hear that from the lips of your Savior when you see him face to face? Then you have to seek him in this. Lord, help me to understand what this is all about. This wisdom that they can't be received with the heart of man, but by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to understand the deep things of God. And God says, if we seek him, we'll what? We'll find him. The invitation is the Lord's. The choice is ours. Would you stand with me as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you've revealed. I pray, Lord, that you would do a work in our hearts that only you can, that will enable us to receive it. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.